Hello.
Hi.
I'm Sasha.
And I'm Ezra.
And welcome to the first official episode of our podcast, Concerning Climate.
Today we have someone very special. His name is Dr. Alex Kolker.
He is the associate professor at the Louisiana University of Marine Consortium. He got his PhD from Stony Brook University and his undergraduate degree from the University of California at Santa Cruz.
So yeah, he's pretty cool. And we hope you enjoy the episode.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
We really hope you do. Stay tuned.
What is your work and why is it important to you?
Yeah, so I study coasts, and I study coasts mostly in the Gulf of Mexico, but also all around the world. And I study how they change over time. So I study how people cause the coast to change, how climate causes the coast to change, how rivers cause coasts to change. And so that's my work. I'm really I'm a geologist who works on the coast. And so that's really what I would call myself, a geologist, or sometimes they use the term geological oceanographer. Mm-hmm. But I'm a geologist who works on the coast. And it's important to me for sort of two big reasons. One, I just think it's really neat and interesting. So coasts are beautiful and they're fascinating places, and there's a lot of water and mud and sand that moves around. And once you get into that, it's kind of geeky, but really cool. And then also it's important because there's a lot of people who live near the water and whose lives could be impacted by changing coasts.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you kind of touched on this already, but what got you interested in what you do, working
with coasts? So I've always wanted to do the environmental sciences. Ever since I was young, I always wanted to do something that was interesting and cool science, but also got me outside, because I really like being outside. So I was always looking for ways that I could do cool science and be outside. And I kind of fell into coasts. Just one job and one thing in graduate school led to another. And somewhere in the middle of that, I realized this was really, really interesting. And I was gonna stick with it.
Cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what is your definition of climate change and how does it relate to your work?
Yeah, so climate is all of the processes that govern how water and air move across the surface of our planet. And so that's everything. The climate system is the system of water and air. And so that includes the oceans, and that includes the atmosphere. It includes the ice sheets. It includes water flowing in streams. And climate is sort of the total of all of the water and air moving across the Earth's surface. And then climate change is the change in those dynamics, the long-term changes in how the long-term changes in our temperature, the long-term changes in our patterns of precipitation, the long-term changes in the position of the ocean. So climate change is the long-term change in the big movements of water and air across the surface of our planet. And that's important for coasts for a lot of reasons. The big ones are the position of the sea. So coasts are, of course, where the land meets the ocean. And climate change can, if it causes the level of the sea to rise, that changes the structure of our coasts. So that's a big way that it impacts my work. And there are some other ways that it impacts coasts as well. It can impact patterns of precipitation. And so that can impact how much water and mud and sand rivers bring to the coast. Climate change can impact hurricanes, and that can impact the coast. So those are some big ways that climate impacts the coast. And I'll also say it impacts my work directly because the marine lab that I'm located at is right on the water, and that lab has started to flood far more frequently as a result of climate change and some other human impacts to the coast.
Yeah. Wow. On your website, you said, it talks a little bit about, like, you studied how climate change affects, like, wetlands, like coastal wetlands, right?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So coastal wetlands, you'll find, like, marshes all across the coast in a lot of places that are quiet, sort of your quieter parts of the coast. You often find marshes. And you often find places that are muddy and where plants can take root. And they grow into these very productive coastal marshes. They often tend to be really productive. And by that, I mean there's a lot of plant growth every year. And that productivity can support a whole lot of birds and shellfish and wildlife. So coastal wetlands are really important. They also provide a defense for areas against floods because they're sort of a buffer in front of the land. But they're also threatened by sea level rise. If water levels rise, they need to accrete, what we call accrete. They need to grow vertically at a rate that is comparable to the rate of sea level rise. And the ability of wetlands to keep pace with sea level rise is limited. It's limited largely by the amount of soil and mud and earth that comes to these wetlands. And that's limited. And so if sea level rise continues to accelerate, wetlands across the world will be threatened by rising sea levels.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell us a little bit about why that's, like, what do wetlands do for, like,
Yeah, so they do a couple things. So like I said, they're really productive. So there's a lot of growth there. They can, because they're really productive, they're habitat for a lot of both beautiful and ecologically important creatures. So a lot of like herons and egrets and other wading birds. And they're important for a lot of things that we eat, like a lot of blue crabs. Like I like to eat blue crabs, and they tend to live in and around marshes. And so a lot of things that people eat tend to live around marshes. So they're good for that. They're also pretty good for water quality. So they tend to, like, the grasses and the muds are pretty good at filtering out toxins. And so they generally help water quality. So that's another reason that they're important. And like I said, they also provide a defense against flooding. So that's another important thing. And, you know, they are a place where you can store carbon. So if we're concerned about global warming and too much carbon dioxide, because marshes are so productive, right? When they're productive, they're taking CO2 out of the atmosphere. Yeah. They're potentially a way, if you were to restore a whole lot of them, it's potentially a way to pull some CO2 out of the atmosphere.
So you were talking a lot about sea level rise. What causes the sea level to rise?
Yeah, so two big things cause sea level to rise. One is addition of water to the oceans, right? So when you add more water to the oceans, and you can do that by one big way to do that is by melting ice sheets and glaciers. Adds water to the ocean, that can cause water levels to rise. Another thing that can cause water levels to rise is if that water gets warmer and expands, as water gets warmer, it expands, and that can increase the volume of the ocean. So that's another thing that can cause sea level to rise. And I guess a third thing that can cause sea level to rise is winds forcing water across the ocean can cause water to, at least for a period of a couple days or even a couple years, cause water to kind of pile up on one side of the ocean, and that can cause sea levels to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I'll add one other thing that's maybe not the ocean level rising, but in a lot of coastal systems, the land sinks, and that can make it look like and act like sea level is rising.
Mm-hmm.
So Louisiana, Louisiana, more of the sea level rise in Louisiana is due to water levels sinking. is due to low land sinking. More of our sea level rise is due to the land sinking than the ocean rising. And that's not because the ocean's not rising, it's just because the land is sinking really
quickly. Right, yeah, yeah. So, on your website, it also said that you were part of the framework development team of the Louisiana Comprehensive Water Plan for a Sustainable Coast. So what does that entail, and why is it important?
Yeah, so I was on the framework development team for the 2017 master plan. So Louisiana comes up with a plan to restore its coast every 5 or now 6 years. That plan to restore the coast, Louisiana's lost a lot of wetlands, and that plan is a way to restore wetlands and also build levees and provide flood protection for New Orleans. Not just New Orleans, for other towns and cities across Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So I was on the framework development team, which was one of the big advisory boards governing the master plan.
Mm. That's really cool. So as someone who wants to learn more about climate change and that affects coastal and how that affects coastal environments, is there any thing you would want us to know?
There's a lot I want people to know. You know, I always think the most important thing for someone to know that lives in the coastal zone is how high you are above sea level. And for people who live near the water, and it's kind of true for people who live it's also true for people who live in other places that might be flood prone. Mm-hmm. It's really important to know how high your elevation, because that determines that plays a big role in how likely you are to flood. And one thing that people don't necessarily know is how close they are to sea level, and that's something that's a big safety risk. And so if there's one thing I wish everyone who lived in the coastal zone knew, it's how high you are above sea level. And a lot of times the old cities are close to the water. Because it made sense to build cities by the water, because you can, have boats that bring things in and out. Water, being by the water is a good place. There's a drinking water supply. Like, a lot of our cities are either right along the coast or they're along rivers, because that's a good place for them. But of course, that also means as climate changes, that those are areas that can be risky.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So so what is a carbon sink, and how does that relate to what you do?
Yeah, so a carbon sink is something that pulls carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So as geologists, we often talk about things that are sources and things that are sinks. Things that are sources add, carbon or anything else to the atmosphere or water, and a sink is something that pulls it out. So a carbon sink is something that pulls CO2 out of the atmosphere. And carbon sinks are important if we're going to deal with global warming, because we have too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and we need to figure out a way to get CO2 out of the atmosphere. And so carbon sinks are the places that that you can pull CO2 out of the atmosphere. And so one thing, if we're going to solve the carbon problem, that we need to do is to increase the size of the carbon sinks and have bigger areas and that pull more CO2 out of the atmosphere.
That's very cool. What threat does climate change have to the city of New Orleans and other low-lying cities?
Yeah, so a lot of low-lying cities, a lot of coastal cities, like I said, are by the water, and New Orleans is no exception. And actually, New Orleans is particularly vulnerable because over half the city is below sea level. And so climate change has a few big threats to New Orleans. The biggest threat is flooding from storms, right? So if you were to have a hurricane that overtopped the levees, you could flood a large part of the city. And of course, that happened 15 years ago during Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. And climate change, threatens to have another flooding event like like Katrina. And Katrina was bad in part because of the floods and in part because the infrastructure, the levees were really, really bad. They've improved the levees after Katrina, and they're sturdier and it's a better system than it was beforehand. But climate change is going to put additional stress on those levees. So sea level is going to rise and storms are likely to become more intense. And so that makes a big threat for for cities like New Orleans.
Yeah, so actually, I was watching the weather this summer and winter, and there was a lot of hurricanes that almost hit New Orleans. Were you, like, concerned that they would hit it and do devastating damage?
Yes. I was definitely concerned. And actually, one of them crossed New Orleans. I guess it was Zeta that crossed New Orleans. I was pretty concerned. And we, in New Orleans, we had a lot less damage than you might have thought, given how many hurricanes came close. Now, Hurricane Laura hit Lake Charles. And Lake Charles suffered a lot of damage during Hurricane Laura. And then it got hit again. I almost even don't remember the hurricanes. I think it was Sally. Was it Ada? Might have gotten hit by Ada a little later. There have been so many storms, I don't even remember. Or I think it was Delta that hit. That hit Lake Charles. Lake Charles got struck twice. New Orleans got struck once and we came close. And the Marine Lab where I work, we had several weeks of high water, several weeks where we couldn't get to work because of these storms. So yeah, it was New Orleans maybe didn't suffer as badly as it could have, but you know, Lake Charles took it on the chin, and a lot of places on the coast had a long time of high water.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's a serious concern.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kind of bouncing off that, how can, like, we, and, like, hopefully everyone listening, help protect coastal ecosystems around the world? Like, how can we help?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, you know, one of the top things is we have to deal with the climate issue, right? And we have to think about ways to put less carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and that's through things like energy efficiency and using, you know, consuming less things that put greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. And part of that is increasing the size of the carbon sinks and pulling more CO2 out of the atmosphere. So those are some things that we need to do on the climate front. There's also a lot of things that you can do in terms of the way that, the way that we manage coasts. Letting water and mud move about the coast in something like a natural manner often can improve coastal ecosystems. So Louisiana's coastal master plan, a big part of that plan involves letting the Mississippi River flow a course that's a little bit more natural and use some of the natural mud in the Mississippi River to rebuild lands. So a lot of coastal ecosystem restoration can make coasts more resilient to climate change. So if we did something with the carbon dioxide and improved coastal ecosystems, we would have we'd have a more resilient and a better ability to work with rising waters.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to leave everyone here and listening with a piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say do as many things as you can to work with climate change. So, you know, you guys are kids now, but you know, you're going to be grownups in the not too distant future. I know it sounds far away, but you know, you tell people that are grownups now that you're concerned about the climate. And I guess that's one thing. So be interested in it. Tell grownups that you're concerned yeah, learn as much as you can and tell people that you're concerned. Those are the things that I would do.
Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Kolker, and thanks for all of this amazing information.
Yeah.
Thank you both for asking about this. This was a lot of fun. It was really interesting and a lot of fun.
Thanks again, Dr. Kolker, for being a part of this episode. It really means a lot to us.
We learned so much, and we hope you all did too.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
Remember to do good things for the environment.
You can also follow our Instagram at Concerning Climate Podcast. And have a nice day. See you later.
Bye.